this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's a story from Turkey, and I just love stories like this. A guy was renovating his house there, and he knocked down a wall of his home. Behind it, he discovered a mysterious room and soon discovered an intricate tunnel system with additional cave-like rooms. The more he searched, the more he discovered, and what he had discovered was the ancient Derinkuyu underground city in Turkey. This was an elaborate subterranean network that included discrete entrances, ventilation shafts, wells, all kinds of connected passageways. They say this was one of dozens of underground cities carved from the rock in that area thousands of years ago, but this one had remained hidden for centuries. And they say this particular one, Derinkuyu, it's not the largest or the oldest, but it's 18 stories deep, so that makes it the deepest. And apparently it was most likely used as a giant bunker to protect its inhabitants from war or natural disaster. It had access to fresh flowing water. It also had individual quarters, shops, communal rooms, tombs, arsenals, livestock, and escape routes. There's even a school complete with a study room. And they found all kinds of weird drawings there, and this whole thing is absolutely amazing to archaeologists and anthropologists. And, gosh, can you imagine the thrill if you found something like that behind the wall of your house? It reminds me of some kind of cartoon that I saw when I was a kid. It was like The Secret World of Og or something like that, for those of you who are pop culture enthusiasts. But listen, we're going to get to a lot of weird stuff on this show tonight, because that's what we do. That's why we are here. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steele. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, sir. What is going on?
Well, you know, Sam, I am, well, okay, for one thing, next week there's going to be a ball game.
Ah, boo. Yeah, we know it's that time of year when frequently the show will not air. It's preempted for ball games. Fair. It's going to be a ball game. Also, next week I am heading back from Puerto Rico to Asheville, and it's going to take me a while to get settled in. So this is actually going to be my last broadcast for a while from the Bermuda Triangle. The next time we have a brand new show, I will be broadcasting from the land of the sky, and that sounds good, but you know, that means I've got to put on pants and sit there and look at you in person for 3 hours, Sam. So I'm not sure how to feel about this.
I don't either, now that you're saying that you're going to put on pants. I mean, yeah. I had it in my mind that we'd be across the console pantsless like we always are from Puerto Rico. But, I mean.
Well, look, maybe we can do that if it's okay with Investigator Shelley Wright. Because nobody would ever know unless she had tattles about this. And now Shelley, Investigator Wright, you're there in the studio. How do you feel about sitting in a studio with two men who are, as they say, porky pig in it?
Well, Porky Bay, speak for yourself,
hey,
sir.
I am fine with that, and I would even make it fair, and I would be pantsless too.
Hello, hold on. There we go.
As long as we get some paperwork, we want to make sure there's no litigation involved after the end of this. How far up the Clear Channel chain does that have to go?
Seeing as how I have like 14 immediate bosses, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think there's any FCC sanctions against broadcasting without pants, though. So I think we're safe on there. Safe harbor.
We'll call that a benefit of the job.
Just one of many.
Yeah. But, yes, what a program. And, you know, of course, I have not been back in Asheville in 2014. This is the longest I have ever been away from Asheville. Of course, I was born and raised in Asheville. Last December, I left to first go to Texas and enjoy Christmas and New Year's with my in-laws. And then from there, I came back to Puerto Rico. But then it turns out, all year long, I've been just traveling all over the United States for one project or another. So it's going to be cool to be back in Asheville just in time for the Halloween season.
Ooh.
Yeah. And let me go ahead and make sure everybody knows now. We have, of course, our very popular Haunted Asheville tours, which are absolutely slammed in the month of October. And I recently announced that I'm going to personally guide only 5 dates in October. And you have to buy your ticket online right now. I can tell you honestly, they are already selling out. But if you go to hauntedasheville.com, you can see those 5 dates when I'm going to be guiding tours. I've got a few special surprises. One of them will be Halloween night, of course. So go to hauntedasheville.com and buy your ticket. And we also are going to have ghost hunts going on. In fact, in October, I'm even going to tell you about some night vision oriented stuff that we're going to incorporate with some of our ghost hunts. But because October for us has always been a highly themed month, when we like to play horror movie music and that kind of stuff, I figured that to set the tone a little bit tonight before we go full-blown October, for our second hour of the show, I'd like for us to talk about a topic that's always kind of right there in the peripheries of the season, fortune-telling. And so we're going to dig a little bit into different methods of fortune telling. But what I'm most excited about is I have planned a live psychic test or experiment that we're going to do tonight right here on the air. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you later, there was an ESP experiment that was done in the 1970s by Dr. Edgar Mitchell when he traveled to the moon. So he was 250,000 miles away, and he was involved in an experiment to see if he could send telepathic messages back and forth with a group of people on Earth. Well, here I am in Puerto Rico, and honestly, I can't remember how far Puerto Rico is from Asheville as the crow flies. I used to know this, but I don't recall now. It's a long way.
I'll check that out for you.
So tonight, hour number two, yeah, we'll do that because I want to try to project some stuff to you guys in the studio and have you try to project some stuff back to me and see just how accurate it is. Does that sound interesting?
It does.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
I'm anxious to see the results, Professor.
I am too, actually. So that's one cool thing that we're going to do tonight. And, of course, my goodness, the amount of material that we have to dig into is just insane. I mean, one reason also I'm really intrigued about doing this experiment with telepathy is that there is a new story that just came out. Listen to this headline. People talk brain to brain for the first time ever. Now, this is a legit news story. They say here telepathy is a staple of science fiction. Think of Mr. Spock and Jedi Knights. But new research has shown that this is no longer in the world of make-believe. An international team of scientists have finally demonstrated what they call the very first direct brain-to-brain communication. They sent the words hola and ciao between two people thousands of miles apart. Now, here's how they did this. Now, this neurologist, Beth Israel, from the medical center in Boston and a Harvard Medical School professor, she said, quote, "We were able to directly and non-invasively transmit a thought from one person to another without having them speak or write." How did they do it? Well, the scientist attached electrodes to one person's brain in India and then to the brains of three people in France, and then they asked the person in India to send a message to the others. Now, the researchers used an electrocephalogram, I think that's what we usually call like an EEG, which records electrical activity in the brain, to detect the message from the sender's brain. And then a computer translated the message into binary code and emailed it to France, where it was converted back into electric pulses and then applied to the receiver's brain via a process called transcranial magnetic stimulation. The pulses produced flashes of light in the subject's peripheral vision, and they decoded that to find the original message. So hopefully that made sense. Essentially, this is... It's really not that complicated if you understand what they did, but the point is, bona fide mainstream scientists have now said they've sent a message directly from one brain to another thousands of miles away. So at very least, the concept of telepathy is possible, and we're going to dig a lot more into that tonight. Pretty cool. Okay, we're coming up on our first break. When we return, here's another big announcement in science. Another bona fide science story.
Bona fide.
Utilizing a process you may have heard of, Einstein famously called spooky action at a distance, scientists have successfully caught what they call, quote, ghosts on film for the first time using quantum cameras. The thing is, the word ghost here does not mean exactly what you probably think it means. I will explain when we come back. This is the show where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, and boy, do we have a slew of it for you tonight. Be sure to stick around. The program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.
Hey, babe, let's get together.
from the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, the Isle of Enchantment, Puerto Rico, hitchhiking the ET Highway, I'm your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop, and you may call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. That's 828-298-5402. And you'll also find a link if you go to speakingofstrange.com, as well as a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, and links to all kinds of interesting stuff, our Facebook page, Twitter, etc. And, you know, last September of 2013, we produced the first Puppy Fest at the Asheville Civic Center, now called the U.S. Cellular Center. And we now, of course, we shot the whole thing as a television pilot, and we decided to put that pilot on YouTube just to see what kind of reaction we get. So I'll plan to have that link for you at speakingofstrange.com. Also, you can just go to YouTube and type in Puppy Fest. Because this thing is in high definition, it doesn't play on a lot of cell phones, so you just have to watch it on a computer. It's kind of designed for that. But anyway, Puppy Fest is one word, and it's pretty funny. It's pretty cool. I think you'll enjoy it. Before we proceed here with some more of this strange news, I would like to just point out something that's on my mind, because earlier today, I watched a documentary that made an impact on me. Over the years, and you know, this is a good time for me to also pause and say, when we were off the air, I was telling Sam and Shelley that in the early days of Speaking of Strange, we just would record the shows with audio cassette tapes, because this was before podcasting and the digitization of shows was commonplace. A little too much rum tonight, Sam. So we are going to go through many of these old shows and transfer them to a digital format. My brother-in-law, Charles, in Texas, is a huge fan of the show, and he has just said, hey, this is going to be fun. This is going to be a treat. He's going to go through and take a bunch of these old recordings and turn them into files that you can listen to. And over the years, I did a number of interviews with people about one of my favorite sort of alien-oriented cases surrounding the mystery of the Dulce, New Mexico underground alien base. And essentially the idea is that most of an entire mountain, if not mountain range, in Dulce, New Mexico, is this multi-story UFO alien underground base where they're working, the aliens are working with the government, and they have all these reptilians down there, and they have humans and other creatures in cages where they're doing genetic experiments on them. And there's this whole mythology about Dulce, New Mexico. If you've never read about it, you should definitely check out some of the books and the literature. It's fascinating. There was even a guy, I believe his name was Phil Schneider, who came forth as a whistleblower saying that he had worked at this installation. And there at one point was kind of a little battle that broke out between the reptilians and the humans, and they were firing exotic weapons back and forth. And this guy, Phil Schneider, had pretty much one of his whole hands just sort of burnt off by one of these sort of laser-type weapons. And not long after he went on the speaking circuit and started spilling the beans, Phil Schneider, who was, I think, at that time only in his 40s, was found dead in his apartment with a cord wrapped numerous times around his neck. And that's true. So I've always thought this was a really interesting, weird case. And a lot of that was dependent on, or a lot of the information we have was dependent on, a man named Paul Benowitz, who was a local entrepreneur and sort of electronics whiz,
who was spying on a lot of the government activity there. And anyway, there was this documentary that recently was screened for the first time. I think it was screened last year, but it's now on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, you can watch this as part of your account. It's called Mirage Men, M-I-R-A-G-E, Mirage Men. So in the documentary, they interview this man named Richard Doty. And Richard Doty, nobody can test this. Okay, this guy was a government counterintelligence agent, and his job for decades was to target people like Paul Dinowitz and you know, many others who were sort of paying a little too much attention to these government bases and projects and experiments, and to meet with him, find out how much that he knew, and then try to feed him misinformation about the alien agenda to sort of throw them off the scent of what projects the government was working on. So originally they were saying stuff like, well, we were working on some kind of nuclear project, and this guy was snooping around, and so we wanted to tell him, well, this is alien stuff, and reinforce his beliefs so that we would sort of discredit him. And in this particular case, Paul Dinowitz ended up in a psychiatric hospital because he started kind of going bonkers. But the point behind the documentary is, and this is a very well-done film, this guy, Richard Doty, he in the beginning is saying, well, here was the government's standpoint. We're working on projects that are officially classified for one reason or another. And some of the people in our population who are most adamant about hanging out and trying to shoot video around government bases and searching for documents and gossiping and all that are people in the UFO field. And therefore, we wanted to know what kind of real stuff they were picking up, especially since they were a danger, considering Russian agents knew that those people might be good targets to also see what they knew. And so they created kind of this hall of mirrors so that basically they would go in and they would simultaneously find out what people knew and try to feed them a bunch of garbage that would also confuse their missions. So you're watching this whole documentary where they make a very strong case for the fact that this is, you know, one of the methods the government uses in order to sort of gloss over the real nuggets of truth at the heart of the UFO phenomenon. And then you get to the very end, and here's the twist at the end. I'm just going to lay it out there for you. At the end, this guy Richard Doty, who the whole time has been, you know, this government spook who tells you, I've been going out there and sort of throwing people off the scent by giving them a bunch of, you know, feeding them a bunch of bunk, says, well, actually, it's true. The reason that we have been so adamant about doing this is because there are aliens. And I have seen footage of the Roswell bodies, as well as a live alien that was involved in discussions with the U.S. government, et cetera, et cetera. And he basically says, there came a point where the U.S. government was going to try to discredit me, and so I decided to go out there and spill the beans. And so it becomes especially weird at the end because you're like, okay, this whole time, this documentary has been about this government agent who lies, and now at the end, he's saying, but here's the truth. There really are aliens. Do we believe him now?
Spoiler alert there. Thanks, Josh. I was looking that up on the Netflix. But
well, you got to see this. Go watch Mirage Men and make up your own mind. When we come back, I'm going to get to this story that I mentioned before about what they call ghost imaging. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
My sense is real. Fatal attraction is holding.
glass. Can't keep my eyes from the circling sky. Tongue-tied and twisted, just an earthbound history.
Becomes usual. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop, the place where your money becomes more money. And remember to write this down. Call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. You may recall this term, spooky action at a distance. It's also known as quantum entanglement. Basically, it's one of the weirdest things that we have observed in reality that's accepted as a real phenomenon, but we just don't know how it works. Essentially, two particles are somehow, well, as the term puts it, entangled, meaning that one can affect the other instantaneously, regardless of the distance between them. So this has been demonstrated with electrons. It's been demonstrated with photons. We don't know precisely how it occurs. But again, essentially, if you were to take two different, we'll say, let's just say we'll take two different atoms. And we'll put one on one side of the universe and one on the other side. If you flip one of them upside down, the other one will instantaneously flip upside down. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense to us, conventionally speaking, because supposedly, given our sort of basic understanding of how things work, it takes a while for information to travel. And usually, the fastest it goes is the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. So you can say no matter how fast information is going, if it's going to go from one side of the universe to the other, you should be able to calculate a delay of some kind. It's at least 186,000 miles per second. But that doesn't matter at all with entanglement. The two things affect each other instantaneously. So keep that in mind as I read this story to you, because this story is taking something we already don't understand, which is entanglement, and taking it to an even deeper level to something else that we don't understand that entanglement is allowing. And they're calling this, that is, scientists are calling it, ghost imaging. Here's what it means in their context. The ghosts captured on camera are not the kind you might think at first. Scientists are not claiming they've discovered wandering lost souls or something. Rather, they have now been able to capture images of objects from photons that never actually encountered the objects pictured. Now, this has been dubbed ghost imaging, reports National Geographic. So let me explain more, okay? A normal camera works by capturing light that bounces back from an object. You could say that's even how your normal vision works, that right now I can see the wall in front of me because supposedly light is hitting that wall and photons or little pieces of light are bouncing off of that wall and back into my eye, and the frequency at which they bounce back determines the color of the wall, etc. That's how optics are supposed to work. So how can it be possible to capture an image of an object from light if the light never bounced off of the object? Well, the answer here in short is quantum entanglement. Since entanglement is this weird instantaneous link that has been shown to exist between certain particles, even if they are separated by vast distances, scientists such as this quantum optics expert Paul Lett of the National Institute of Standards and Technology says, quote, "What they've done is a very clever trick. In some ways, it is magical. There is not new physics here, but a neat demonstration of physics. They are actually able," and that's an end quote, "they're able to get images of hidden objects by simply picking up the photons that are entangled with the photons that do bounce off of it." So, they, you know, Mobius here says this even exceeds Star Trek technology. Apparently in Star Trek they have this thing where, you know, people can hide behind a moon, for example. Well, sorry, that doesn't work anymore. So in a nutshell, if light is bouncing off of an object and you can access other light particles that are entangled with that light, then you can see without having to travel the distance. Now, why does this matter? Why is this important? Well, we know that light carries an enormous amount of information. In fact, most of the sort of data we have related to whether or not life might exist on a distant planet is based upon analyzing the light that we pick up to see what chemicals and gases and elements exist on that planet. So that is to say, a planet that has liquid water and vegetation and some kind of a decent atmosphere is going to bounce back light that looks very different than some, you know, dead, barren, hostile environment. So if we are going to search the cosmos for another planet that has life on it, the best place to start is by analyzing the light that is bouncing off of that planet. But the planet might be too far away for us to do a proper analysis. However, if we can use this thing called ghost imaging using quantum entangled light, well, then we don't need to worry about traversing those enormous distances. And interestingly enough, right after this research came out, a lot of the information about it started to disappear off the web because this is so useful. The buzz is that the military were the first folks to recognize the potential here, and they're working on a lot of research and development projects. And so who knows how much is going to be available within the public realm on this topic, but it's a fascinating concept. And hopefully you kind of kept up with it, but continue, you know, from time to time, get on the net and look up quantum ghost imaging, and you know, you'll be surprised at what you might find. All right, let's move on to talk about some other weird stuff here. How about this one? of course, a lot of people enjoy this cheesy sci-fi movie Sharknado.
Oh,
are
yeah.
you one of those people, Sam?
I've got it on the DVR right now, Sharknado 2, the next okay. one, I believe it was. And you had the what was it? It's basically a melding of several different reptiles and amphibious killing machines in a cheesy, schlocky kind of way with some C-level stars, and it's really fun, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously it's done well. It's got a lot of celebrities in it. I've never sat down and watched it. It's not my kind of entertainment.
They're cheesy. They are cheesy.
Here is a story that bears an eerie resemblance about something that is real. A tornado in Iceland pulled hot lava out of an active volcano and then sent it gushing down in a fiery fury headed toward a town. This actually happened.
A fiery fury.
Yeah. They say that we're talking about some of these lava shots that were going, 700 feet into the air. On September 3rd, a pilot monitoring the air around the volcano recorded this hot tornado storm. Sounds like we're marketing a porn film all of a sudden, doesn't it?
I was going to say, we're not in safe harbor yet, bud.
Since there were no weather conditions in the area that would spawn tornadoes, it was even weirder. Scientists there suspect it's more of like a dust devil, like little dirt swirls that you see sometimes in dusty fields. But the heated air over the volcano rises, carrying fine little particles of dust and debris. And then the horizontal winds hit it, and it swirls and forms a column. And, next thing you know, you have this fiery channel of air, but they say
you're
luckily
saying it was like a tornado, like a dust devil tornado in the Arizona desert, but of lava-y fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy.
And luckily it broke up before reaching any populated areas.
That would be scary. I would not want to see that coming my way.
Yeah, that would be. See, that's a horror movie right there.
It's hellfire and brimstone.
That. Yeah, it really is. We're going to take a break. When we come back, some more stories for you. One of them is called Grim Reaper Haunts Albuquerque Cemetery. And mind you, this is not just a ghost story. The Grim Reaper actually sat down for an interview. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you what he said. And also a story here from Ohio, but a man who took a very deadly sleepwalk. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. This is Speaking of Strange.
They only come a ten about twice a year.
We're in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I am Joshua P. Warren, and keep in mind now, next hour, well, to kind of start getting us in the mood for the Halloween season, we're going to talk a little bit about different methods of fortune telling. We'll talk some about astrology, maybe a little about palmistry, some about aura reading. These are things that I've had experiences with, and we'll ask Sam and Shelley to start thinking right now if they've had any personal experiences with these things. What do they believe about those topics? And we're also going to do a live ESP experiment on the air here, a live extrasensory perception experiment. So hopefully you'll stick around for that. And let me also repeat now, I'm going to be doing some special Haunted Asheville ghost tours in October, and this includes access, late night access, to the Asheville Mystery Museum. So you got to buy your tickets in advance online. Go to hauntedasheville.com if you're interested. Here's a story from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I believe that's where Bugs Bunny always should have taken a left. Apparently, a cemetery there has become the haunting grounds for a mysterious man dressed like the Grim Reaper, who appears nightly. The man first showed up at a San Jose del El Rosario cemetery last month wearing a black cloak over a white dress. Now, his face was covered, and he occasionally carried a bouquet of flowers that looked as if they'd been plucked from a nearby field. The strange figure disappeared, only to show up again and again, and finally consent to an interview with a local TV station. The mysterious man says his name is Light Wanderer, and he comes to the cemetery to pray. Quote, he said, "There is a place where sleepers sleep and dreamers dream and patiently await. And there's nothing to be afraid of except those who seek to cause harm, pain, and destruction. I am just a whisper in the dark." End quote.
You did that very well.
I haven't seen his actual interview, but that's how he should have done it.
That's how you heard it in your head.
Yeah, so who is this guy? It kind of reminds you a bit of the Poe toaster, doesn't it?
The Poe,
you know,
toaster?
The guy. Yeah, the guy who appears, the mysterious figure that appears every year on the anniversary of Edgar Allan Poe's death and walks over to his cemetery and leaves a little cognac or brandy or something along those lines.
Where is is Poe buried in Baltimore?
I'm thinking either Baltimore or Virginia. It's been a while since I've read up on that, but, you know, he was from that neck of the woods.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. So here's a story, interesting one, from Slade, Kentucky. Rescue crews say an Ohio man who was camping with friends off of the central area of Kentucky's Red River Gorge, he's recovering after falling off a cliff while sleepwalking. They'd set up camp there, and the man's friends called for help when they realized he was missing in the middle of the night. And this guy had fallen about 60 feet and landed in an area with several large boulders. Everybody is calling it a miracle that he survived. He suffered a head injury, a dislocated shoulder, and a fractured leg. But he's expected to make a full recovery. You got to clamp that guy down, tie him to a tree or something if he goes camping. And here's another interesting sleep-oriented story before we take our next break. This is from Marlboro, Massachusetts. A Massachusetts man who fell asleep in a chair in his living room got quite a surprise when he woke up. He found a bloody, naked stranger asleep on the couch. The Marlboro homeowner got his wife, children, and father-in-law out of the home as he was in a state of total panic about 4:30 a.m. He quickly called the police. The police says the responding officers arrested the 30-year-old bloody naked man on the couch and charged him with entering a building at night, putting a person in fear, and vandalism. They say the injuries of the man were consistent with a, quote, highly intoxicated person. Now, I find that interesting. They say it was consistent with. They don't say he was. Says his injuries were consistent with, whatever that means. And they say the man had absolutely no idea in the world how he got there. He told the judge as at his arraignment he had no idea how he got injured or how he ended up in the home. And yes, my friends, he suggested he might have been a victim of alien abduction.
I would say Ambien.
If you've ever seen that movie Fire in the Sky, you'll see why that popped into my head immediately. Okay, we're going to take a break. Stick around for hour number two of tonight's masterpiece. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.